Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use the mobile device to sign up today and get into the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the Dumb Dad Podcast. My name is Kevin, and I'm a dumb dad.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Evan, and I'm a dumb dad. And on today's episode, Kevin is going to tease what it's like to not have to be a stay-at-home dad. And he kind of likes it.
And Evan is going to talk about how he wanted to make everybody nice and cozy in his little home. And, well, let's just say it wasn't an emergency, but it wasn't great. So, Evan... Cheers, buddy.
Cheers to you, dummy.
I hear you want to talk about getting a leg up in life.
Yeah. Mm. Boy, what a segue. What a legue into the... There we go. We make a lot of jokes about getting old.
Yeah, my back hurts right now.
Yeah, because we are.
It's sitting weird. I have to change my posture or my back's going to spasm.
I worked at the book fair today, and like, if I, like 2 hours, and it's like, I need to sit down. My back is starting to hurt.
Okay.
So we make a lot of jokes about getting old, right?
You got orthopedic shoes yet?
Not yet. Yeah. Well, they're on order.
Have you perused them?
Well, yeah. No, Kevin, I haven't made a bookmark page of.
Oh, interesting. It's in the my page Safari that window opens when you open Safari.
Have you ordered these yet?
Orthopedics.
And make a lot of
your cart is waiting.
Yeah, your cart called.
Walk on over here. Well.
And we make a lot of these jokes. I think our favorite jokes are about the lower back and the knees. They always just feel like this. Those are the most consistent, right? Of like my knees, you know, sounds like pop rocks standing up. You got pop rocks in your knees, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was all too real for me this week. My mother, bless her dear heart and her horrible knees, had her knee replaced today.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats to my mom getting that done finally. She's had knee problems since I was like a kid.
She got a new tranny in the knee?
Yeah, she's had knee problems since I was a kid and like always in like sort of pain. It's hard to walk around and stuff. Just like, no, just zero. I mean,
she a runner?
Zero cartilage.
She's a lot of
skier.
She's a skier.
Specifically liked, enjoyed moguls.
Don't you? Okay. Don't you love, like, you love to hear when somebody's like, oh, they had to get their knee replaced, they had to get back surgery, whatever. You're like,
yeah.
What did they do with their life? And if it's something like they were a skier,
yeah,
or they did a lot of Ironmans or whatever, it's like,
yeah,
oh, thank God, because I didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to hear is like they got their knee replaced, what happened? They're just, it's going to happen to all of
they're
us.
They're just.
Which it might.
An older guy.
That's a bummer.
So, but the reason I wanted to bring it up is like, you know, we make these jokes and everything, but the reality is we're getting older and things are going to start failing. Yeah. I mean, I already had my eyes redone by lasers because they failed when I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 42. I wore glasses for like 23 years and then had lasers fix them. And I'm only 42. Like, that's wild. Right?
Yeah, no, it's not great.
That's wild.
That's not great. You were, nobody wants to say you're born wrong, but you know,
yeah,
you weren't done cooking.
Born blind. So what's crazy to me was like, finally, my mom got like the schedule, like you're going to get your knee replaced. But the more and more I thought about it, like the reality of that is just like so crazy. Like in modern medicine, they're going to go, yeah, your knee is just cashed.
Yeah.
We're going to take your knee out of your body,
uh-huh,
put in a new one that we made. Just put it together. It's a new one we made. It's just better than your old one. We can put that in the garbage.
What's it made of?
I don't know. Probably some high-tech kind of plastic, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's metal. She sent me like the breakdown of like what it looked like. And it was like, it had a lot of patella components and something else components. And I was like, I love the loose wording of components.
Components.
And it was like a crudely thrown together diagram, like step one, step two. However, like not as thought out as like for dummies as an IKEA catalog, like instruction booklet.
Yeah.
What I thought was so funny about it was like my dad sent us this message that's like, you know, on Marco Polo that was like, here we go. We're on our way. Uh-huh. So we're all responding like, good luck, mom. It's going to be fine. You yeah. know, let us know if you need anything.
Who wrote that?
I did. Of course I did.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to keep it lighthearted, you know, assuming there's a little bit of a fear going on.
Sure.
You got to put you under and all that stuff.
You wanted her to groan before she went into surgery.
Yeah. Before she got out and was like, oh, my knee's killing me because you took it out and put a different one in.
Yeah.
But what was just wild to me was like, I mean, I think the surgery was 2 hours or something mm-hmm. to that effect. But it really felt like, you know, our days are busy. We got a lot going on. But it felt like 45 minutes later, my dad was like, she's out and recovering. And it was like her like walking down the hall with a walker.
Oh, wow. She's not going to be wheelchair bound.
No. I mean, it sort of was. Then they were like, basically they were like, walk as far as you can.
They're like, we just want to film a TikTok real quick. Then you got to get yeah. the chair.
It's for our account. We got to yeah. get some more likes and engagement going on.
Well, we've only got like 15
yeah. You don't know
followers.
Anybody that could like share this, do you?
Yeah.
And, but it was like, basically the point was they do the surgery and then they want her to like walk as far as she can on it until she's like, I can't do it anymore. And then they put her in a wheelchair. And then now it's like, like a couple weeks of like, or at least a few days of like resting, keeping mm-hmm. it elevated. And then like once an hour, they want her to walk around on it and just like get it going a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like the speed of that to me is wild.
Yeah, man.
That it really didn't take that long to take somebody's knee out of their body, put a whole new one in.
They got a cue, man. They got to get through them.
Yeah. Knees are hot swappable apparently these days.
Mm.
And anyway, shout out to my mom for getting it done. I'm hoping for a speedy recovery, but
yeah,
it was just one of those things that was like, man, we make these jokes a lot, but like that could be in my not so distant future. Like, bro, your knees are done. You need new knees. The hips.
Yeah, the hips is a bad one.
That's a bad one. I think that's kind of a pretty serious situation.
Now, you might not. You might go your whole life without needing to get a surgery.
Yeah.
But if you were to get one, what do you think you'll get? Not what do you want. What do you think you'll get?
Maybe just a face transplant. Get a little more handsome.
Oh, okay. That's a bone structure thing.
Maybe some facial... Maybe some
you have to break the jaw.
Maybe more manageable hair on the top of my head. No, I mean, I don't know. My guess would be knee.
Knee?
Well, mom's got bad knees. And I'll say this, like we make the joke, but I think both of us still like you feel it once in a while. I'll stand up and feel like my knee was like, you didn't do that right.
Yeah.
And you felt it, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah, I felt that. Felt like a foreign object there. And there was something that was like, you didn't like standing up like that, did you?
Yeah.
Try not to put all the pressure on one of us.
It's not looking good now because I'm almost 40. And I remember when my wife and I, when we were engaged, so we were getting in shape to get married. And
as you do.
As everyone does. Like, I don't want to look like me at the wedding. I want to be able to look at that photo 10 years from now and go, I got a lot different looking now.
I got a lot of work to do to get back to that.
Yeah. But I remember we were doing Insanity. Do you remember Insanity? It was like P90X.
P90X.
Shout out to Sean T. He was great.
Probably has bad knees. I saw some of that footage.
We were doing those workouts pretty regularly. I think we did it like twice. And then the second go through of it, because I think it's like, I don't remember if it's 30 days or 45. But the second go through, I remember like I did a hop and my knee was like, ah. And I
was a while ago
smart back then. Then I just I didn't hurt it, but it was one of those things. Same thing. Like you just said, it was like, we both agree that you didn't do that right.
Yeah.
And I put on a knee brace right away. Like luckily my wife like had like kind of a knee support thing. And I was like, put that on right away. I'm not going to be walking down the aisle with a cane.
It's wild, man. So the idea of it seems so scary. But then it was like 2 hours later, like, new knee, next. Mm-hmm. Number 87.
Just like
number 87. Like, oh, that's me. I've got number 87.
Wipe down the table.
Yeah.
Next one. Hop on here.
Throw your leg up on the counter. As I'm charging a beep, type in your PIN number, please.
Just
That's the inside of my leg.
You can just tap the chip there.
Yeah, please don't
just
look at the other side of
the
curtain.
Just tap the chip. Right here. Put the card right here. All right, give it to me. Let me do it. Yeah. Beep. Okay, now you can go.
You got to stop giving him someone's anesthesia. Yeah. They can't run the card while we're working on it.
I told you to charge him before the anesthesia. I've told you that over and over again. They can dispute the charges.
Well, I already washed my hands. I can't.
Do you know what's funny? On that note, everyone's getting older. We're all getting older all the time. I had a thought the other day and I was like, oh no, you are getting old, because I don't know where the number came from. Maybe somebody had said something about 20 years from now. I don't know. But I remember thinking, oh, I'm 39 right now. I was like, 20 years from now, I was like, oh, my daughter will be, she'll be 27 and I'll be 59. Oh, that's not too bad. Whereas like, I remember when she was born, I was doing the math. I'm sure everybody does that. Where you're like, okay, when they graduate high school, I'll be, you know, whatever it is, 53 or whatever it was. And I was like, it'd be like in the 50s. And I was like, okay, that's okay. I can live with that. And like, but not happy about it.
Conceding the idea.
Not happy about it. Now I'm like, because I'm getting older. I go 20 years from now, 59. Nah, it's not too bad. That's not old. That's all right.
As long as I can make it there, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Just making the concessions. That's fine. I'm fine with it.
I felt it. I mean, so you feel it all the time. I'm out there with my son prepping him for baseball season. He really wants to play baseball this year. So we went and got him a glove and got him his basic supplies, a little bat and helmet, so we can like practice with me and stuff. And we're out there in the backyard. I'm trying to teach him how to play catch and stuff. And it's like, he throws one low and I'm down there.
Buddy, you gotta let go at the top of your throw. Please stop throwing it at the ground. Please. When we're going inside.
I'm just trying to, when we're going inside and all I need to do is sit down for a while.
If you can't listen, we're going inside. And it's not because he's not listening. Yes. It's because I can't bend over one more.
Because if I do that again, actually, I won't be going inside. I'll just be laying out there for a while.
We had a slight kind of dumb family moment because my daughter also has, it's like in a week and a half now, she has like baseball tryouts as well. Or not like evaluation. They don't want to call them tryouts.
Evaluations. Yeah. Evaluations. Well, that's fair. They're like, stick the kids, like make the teams
where
even.
Where am I going to put you? So
where could we even?
So we took her to a baseball field, but it's been raining a lot here and it wasn't raining this day. So we went to like a baseball field and it was just like all of where second base should be was a huge puddle.
Tempting.
And it was just like,
can we practice sliding?
And it was funny because that was wet. Like a puddle, and then everywhere else wasn't, but everything else, like it looked like, the dirt looks dry-ish, but the second you stepped on it, it was like slick mud.
Yeah.
So we played there for like 5 minutes, not even, where we were like, what are we doing? Like someone's probably gonna blow a knee out. It was just like, I'm just throwing my daughter the ball. She's practicing hitting it. So she's just hitting it right into the puddle at second base.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Right up the middle, that's where you need to hit it.
No, here's what it is. It's like that. It's that trick in golf where like you're at a hole and there's a water hazard or a sand trap, and you're like, or water hazard is kind of a better example because it's big, and you'll be like, all right, there's a water hazard. I don't want to hit there. So you'll either definitely hit there or wildly overcorrect.
You'll definitely hit it in there. If you think I don't want to hit it in the water hazard, and that's your swing thought,
yeah, you're going in there.
Spoiler alert: you're pulling another ball out.
So I think my daughter was doing that as well because we were pitching it from the pitcher's mound. She hit it in there a couple times. It was just like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to first base and you're going to hit from there. Like, we'll just do it that way. So she turned her body and then just kept hitting it.
And she drops her shoulder, hits it into right field, which is now second base. Bottle.
Yes.
Yeah, she kept doing it. Atta like, girl.
All right. If you can do that on the day. But then we went out to the grass and just like played catch and everybody's socks were soaked. And I was like, what are we doing?
You're practicing.
We're parenting. We're doing a great thing. This will be the story she tells. I remember my parents carried me out and they were so cold.
My dad kept complaining about his knees.
Yeah. Oh my God. Him and the knees and the dad jokes. Oh, put your best foot forward. Shut up. Let's get into the dumb dad moments.
Let's do some dumb dad moments.
I guess mine is brought to you by missing a step. We're all doing it.
Skipping a step?
No, I'm missing a step.
Missing
a step. So my wife is currently out of work. Her show that she works on wrapped. So we don't. We'll, hopefully, it gets picked up for another season. But either way,
as an editor, that's how kind of this industry works. You go from show to show. Yeah.
So
the show. Pretty much everybody in this
industry. The show's off right now. Yeah. So she's off, and now she's kind of like, all right, well, she's going to take advantage of this time. And while she is looking for work, she's also like, I'll watch the kids. I'll do the stay-at-home mom for a bit,
yeah,
which she's never gotten to do. And she's like, you focus on Dub Dads, all the work that we're trying to do, all the extra stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. That, I can do that during the day. That's great. And boy, have I fallen into that pretty hard. I'm a mess. Like, I texted her twice this week. Do you need me to pick up the kids? Because she would be at, like, she would go to the gym, or she was like out running errands, like going mm-hmm. Food shopping or whatever. And both times she was like, no, pickups at this time. And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I did all. I used, in my defense, it's conferences week. So it's all like half days.
Yeah.
But I didn't know when they'd released, I didn't know when the time they got out was.
Right.
So once I learned that, it was like, oh, it's... Oh,
so you know, there's the PTA president who has no idea what time the kids get out of school.
It gets worse.
Hold on. Let me cram my foot in further.
I'm not done. So I'm definitely just like, it's weird. I'm like, I'm kind of forcing myself to stay in this room, which is our office, to like work during the day, and the kids come home from school. And obviously I say hi to them for a little bit, but then I go back to work. Just kind of, you know, take advantage of this time. Like, she's enjoying being the stay-at-home mom. And I'm like, all right, this is a chance to maybe get ahead at some stuff. And it's weird, one, because I've never done this before. And the kids are noticing it. The kids are like now needier for me. I mean, they'll like say things like, I haven't seen you all day. And it's like, oh,
nice try. Get out of my office.
It's funny. You should be in bed. I shouldn't be seeing you right now either.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't know what time the things were. Then I went to the conferences, which I also didn't know what times they were. They're on the calendar, and I looked at them. I was like, okay. And then
slotted right nicely into the stereotypical like dopey dad.
Who's that's
like,
what I mean.
Tell me where to be. I guess I'll try to be there.
That's what I mean. And then I went into the school and I was like, what's up? Everybody knows me there. Cause I'm on the, as you said, I'm on the PTA. And it was funny. Cause like I was signing in and it was like your child's name. And I was going for my youngest. So I'm like feeling,
couldn't even remember that.
Don't know. Is it Jessica? No, that's not it. Cousin Jessica.
Somebody already signed next to Jessica. Should I sign here?
No. So I'm filling it out. Then I get to his, I write the teacher's name, and then it was like the room number. I was like, it was like, it's, I do this a lot when I go to Walgreens to get my wife's prescriptions, when they're like her date of birth, and I have a small panic. I know exactly when her birthday is.
But you don't want to get it wrong.
I've never gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
I've never gotten her birthday wrong.
The fear of getting it wrong all of a sudden brings up this anxiety of like, what if I get it wrong? As opposed to just like, what is it? And then saying it.
So I like, the administrator was like signing me, helping, you know, so like filling out my visitor badge while I was writing it. And I looked up and I was like, this teacher's room... two, like we said it at the same time. I was like, two, okay, yeah. And she was like, yeah, it's okay. And I went, I could walk to the classroom blindfolded. She's like, no, I know, you know your way around. And I was like,
why didn't I look at the number on it?
I will say I had a nice little moment where I recovered. Like, I had a nice moment with that same administrator, because the next day I was at the school and I was talking to her about something, and some real dumb dad came in. I mean, I think I'm bad. He made me feel bad.
A real one.
Oh, a real one. And he came in and he was like talking to the another administrator about his child. And the administrator just yells, and who's your child's teacher again? And he goes, oh, I have no idea.
Oh, God.
Which, guys, like they say the bar's on the floor.
But you don't got to dig a hole and put it in the hole.
You know, don't treat it like your wallet or the Apple TV remote. Don't just walk by it and go, well, I should pick that up. Pick it up.
Pick up the bar. Carry it around for a while.
There's certain things you have to know. And like your kid's teacher, the pediatrician, like you don't have to memorize a social security number. Because
I don't know their social security numbers.
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to know that stuff. But birthdays,
I know
pediatrician
yours.
And teachers, go for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a funny moment. But then it happened again today. Thank God for my improv and acting skills.
Here we go.
Well, because I was dropping my kids off.
Yes, and tell us more, Kevin.
Okay, and I will. and one of the other members of the PTA who's kid is like also goes in the same gate. I drop him off. She's like, hi, good morning. And I was like, hey. And she goes, do we need anything for the green eggs today? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, no, because I checked with so-and-so the other day. I'm pretty sure she's okay, but that is a good idea. I'll go check with her right now.
I'll follow up with her.
And then I walked away, and I was with my brother who watched that whole conversation, and I went, I completely forgot about green eggs.
Don't even know actually what she was even asking me about.
This exact second. I was going to go home and have a coffee and enjoy myself, but it's
not anymore.
It's Read Across America week, and we do it as like a Dr. Seuss week. And we're bringing back an old thing the PTA used to do, which was on one of those days of the week, we give all the kids green eggs. We make real scrambled eggs, put green food coloring in, and serve them to the kids. Now, I was against this idea. When they first brought it up, my God, did they not sell it? They were like, are we going to do green eggs for Read Across America? I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, we used to, like, the PTA would make scrambled eggs, put green food coloring in, and we'd give it out to the kids. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Is that something the kids like? And they go, it's kind of fun. I mean, one or two kids will throw up. And I was like,
what?
I was like, are you serious?
Will.
And they were like, yeah. They were like, yeah, I mean, it happened in the past a few times. And I was like, oh, then we shouldn't do it.
Will throw up.
I was like, oh, we definitely shouldn't do it. And then like everyone else was kind of against me. Maybe one or two were on my side. But everybody was like, no, I think it'll be a fun thing. And I was like, when do we give these out? And they're like, at recess. I was like, so you want to give them eggs and let them run? What are we doing here, guys? Let's not do this.
Here's an idea. Why don't we hang buckets around their necks? So they can just chuck it in there and keep running. Oh, my God.
So we did it. It was actually a big success. The kids had the kids had a great time. They many kids came up for seconds and thirds. Nobody barfed. It was great. The whole thing was great. It was actually a very cute
and enjoyable. The whole thing was a wild success.
The whole thing was a wild success. I mean, if that's not most parenting, nobody barfed or wet themselves. It was a pretty good day.
Yeah, pretty good day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There were no tears?
Pretty nice little Saturday.
Great. I think because the kids that probably would have barfed, maybe back in the day they pushed the issue. I didn't with any of the kids when I was handing them out. I was like, you want green eggs? And the kids were like, yeah, I want to try it. And I was like, cool, here you go. And then some kids were like, I don't know. I was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, bye. Walk away.
Yep,
walk
go away. You were missing
extra green eggs for you?
Nothing. You're missing nothing. Then you're just, no.
Can't really barf green eggs if you don't eat them.
It's a wild thing. I get it. It's from the book Green Eggs and Ham, but like making eggs the color that all children hate food to be is a wild choice.
Why would they be green? They don't need to be green ever.
What was surprising is the number. It was okay that the kids asked because they're children.
Sure.
The number of adults that went, how'd you make them green? I was like, I don't know. We blended broccoli.
These
what do you
are
think?
So old.
Yeah.
They're so old.
They, We put baking soda in it so that it would absorb the smell because they are rancid.
Let me tell you one thing. These are not from chickens.
Yeah. Yeah. So some guy in a Target parking lot sold them to me from his van. I was going to get
hell of a deal though.
I was going to get some gray meat as well, but I was kind of in a rush. So I had to get out of there.
It was cool because I showed him my Target rate card. He still gave me 5% off.
It was wild. He did write down the number. That's going to be a problem later. So yeah, that's like my dumb dad moment is just like, not like falling in, like kind of falling into like the dumb dad trope, but it's more like how when you aren't the like primary parent, how quickly it is to just kind of lose that step of just like, all right, I'm not handling this right now. And it's just like, it's not front of mind. And it's just weird. And that stuff is all kind of...
If you think about it, it's like your wife is now kind of running around doing the stay-at-home parenting duties. She probably appreciates to maybe a different degree what you do on a daily basis. And you,
vice versa,
on the flip side, wish you had her life.
Yeah, basically. I said that to her. I said that to her. I was like, man, this is what
this
you go
so
through.
It's so nice in here. And there's a lock on the door.
Yeah, it's great. I can yell at them and not feel bad because I don't see their little faces
as they walk away.
Yeah, it's like, why is the door open? I shouldn't be seeing your head so low. Why is your head hanging like that? Stand up straight.
And, oh, would you look at that? My coffee's still empty.
I did say that to my wife, though, today, like an hour ago. I was like, it is crazy. Is this what you, like, this is what you were going through when you were working? This is, because the kids are like, they twist knives. Kids do that. They love to twist the knife when they can. And they've already said it. I've only been doing this for a couple weeks. And they're like, I haven't seen you at all today. It's like, all right. And now it hurts.
Yeah. Well, great. Now I'm in the mood to write comedy.
Yeah. I got a great bit where I make fun of you now.
Here's a joke. My face and me as a father. Oh. My dumb dad moment this week is brought to you by Duraflame.
Okay.
The one-stop shop for easy.
Not a sponsor.
Actually, they're not even Duraflame logs. They're like off-brand. But you get the idea.
Duraflame with two R's.
Yeah.
And an accent mark.
Dura.
Also got it in the van.
Yeah. These, you know, compressed logs made of glue and sawdust or whatever. Yeah. It's probably not glue.
Nah, I don't think it's glue.
Hopefully not glue. So since we moved into our new house, that has a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have not, for the first while, it was like we didn't have anything at all to like light a fire, nothing.
Yeah.
And then we didn't even have a grate for the fireplace.
Right.
And then probably like 3 weeks ago, still stopping at the hardware store, needed to get something. And on my way to the checkout, I was like, oh, I saw fireplace grates. And I was like, I'm just going to grab one of those right now.
Yeah.
It's cast iron. It'll hold logs. We need one. Grabbed it. And then, you know, it's like 2 days later, my wife was there and she was like, grabbed a box of the Duraflames. I think normally I would default to lighting a fire with real like hardwood, right? Mm-hmm. Snap, crackle, pop. You love that kind of stuff, just like your knees. Mm-hmm. And, but for the most part, it was like, well, there's a box of these. We can easily just kind of like,
and nobody wants to
do a couple of testers, you know.
Everybody who wants a fire also doesn't want to see like dad proving something to himself for a half hour where they're like,
well, at least
are we turning on the heat or are we like watching you try to, I don't know.
I can make a fire. Okay. Let that be known. However,
I didn't say you couldn't make a fire. I said, how long do we have to wait until there's a fire?
The other night it was like, I'm going to do it right now. I just thought about it. It was kind of a little rainy. Felt like a good moment to do it. We were going to have soup that night. It all just felt like, yeah, this is all kind of set up for a nice evening. And so we're opening the flue. It's a little tight, but we get it open all the way.
Okay.
For what we thought.
All right.
I will say, I think it's open all the way. I mean, I wasn't like guessing. We're using flashlights going like, yeah, it's open. Shut it. That's shut. Open. That's open. Can't pull it anymore. Open. It's wide open. Uh-huh. Great. Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't understand that happened, though. Because we lit the log, let's say like 6 o'clock. And like, it says it's like a 3 hour burn. Should be like, it's pretty well timed when they're like calculated how big they are and all that stuff, right? But like an hour and 10 minutes later, the thing looks like it's about halfway burned, but it also looks like it's kind of go out. Mm-hmm. It's not like still burning nicely, right?
Right.
But everything seemed to be fine. And then like a half hour after that, it was a half an hour or so after that, whatever. It was like just about after dinner. It was like, all right, kids, let's go brush our teeth and stuff. And we come back in the living room and like my father-in-law is like opening the back door and opening a window, whatever. And it was like really smoky in the living room. It was like, why is it so smoky in here?
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out why. And we kind of got it all cleared out a little bit. And then put the kids to bed and stuff. And like with the windows open, everything, it was kind of chill. And then I was like, are you going to stay up for a little longer? And he's like, yeah. I mean, it was like the thing's like pretty much it's dwindling this point, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm staying for a little longer. I goes, okay, I think I'm going to go to bed. And then like in the middle of the night, I woke up in the middle of the night and it was like, it smells like smoke. Not like,
it's terrifying.
Not in a dangerous way. I'll say that. Not to ease any triggering warnings here, like, or any triggering feelings. But it just smelled like it smelled like campfire is what it smelled like.
Your house ever been on fire?
And it was like, no.
I just like that you preface that. Don't worry, I could tell by the smell.
Well, but I mean, it wasn't like coughing, waking up like that. It was like, just woke up like, man, what? I'm smelling like it smells like we're camping.
Yeah, that would worry me. That didn't worry you?
No, but because I knew he wasn't going to like leave a huge fire going. He was going
to
like.
Maybe he had to go to the bathroom for a long time.
He had eyes on it, is what I'm saying. We had eyes on it.
Sure.
But he said by the time he went to bed, it was like the small little thing, like wasn't really, it was like embers basically. Yeah. So he's like, I'm going to go to bed. What's really interesting about this, though, is that we have something needs to get fixed or adjusted or worked on or looked at, or I don't know what it is, because we woke up in the middle of the night and it wasn't so strong to where it was like, what's the problem? It was just like, man, I can't believe I can smell that.
Yeah.
What's wild is that when my wife woke up for work at like 5, she goes, I woke up and there was like still kind of like embers in the fireplace.
Oof.
So it kind of was just slowly smoking.
Yeah.
No danger, just that's where the state of the log was at.
Yeah.
In the morning. Just kind of wild considering it was like, on one hand, it was almost like it was going to burn out and be done.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it was like, why is it? And it wasn't smoking or anything, but she could just see that it wasn't like complete ash, which is normally what they are when you burn like a Duraflame log or one of these things. Yeah. They burn all the way towards just ash.
Yeah.
So she said she could still see a couple embers. So what was weird is it was smoking all night long just by tiny, tiny bits, mm-hmm. but it wasn't going up through the flue. It was just filling our house with like just a little bit of smoke. That's so it was like for 2 days, our house smelled like we went camping. Like the whole house went camping.
Oh, no.
Which isn't ever necessarily the worst thing in the world.
It's a good smell.
Like when I go camping and I bring like a sweater or a jacket or whatever, I choose to not wash that sweater.
Oh, yeah.
I love pulling that thing on for the next like week or so until it's like completely dwindles out. In the morning, you get that like campfire smell. Like I want to stress this. We never felt like there was any danger. It wasn't like we left this thing completely unattended. It was just like a little bit over the course of time filled, like the smell of it. And again, it wasn't like I woke up and turned the lights on and the room was filled with smoke either. It was just like the smell. But what's weird is like that shouldn't have happened. That should just all go up through the flue. And it did not.
Must have been capped on the other end would be my guess.
I don't know. But I mean, like we lit the fire initially, the whole log is burning. You'd think like at some point that's just going to all come down if it's capped.
Mm.
And when we had in the general inspection, they didn't say like, by the way, your chimney's capped. And they were like,
yeah,
it needs work because it's a 70-year-old chimney. It's sure. Got a couple of like where the bricks are like separating from each other a little bit up there that you got to get them kind of filled in. It's a little.
Well, that should be even better for you to get the smoke out.
Exactly. And it wasn't like, when you have your house inspection done, your general done, there's things that are like needs attention. Like you should do this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not in the list. It was like, you should think about this soon enough because you know,
yeah,
it'll, you know, maintain your fireplace. You can use it longer. It'll like, you know, mm-hmm. extend the life of it or whatever, yeah, rather yeah, yeah. than like continuously ignoring it, like, which has probably been done ever since it's been here or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just wild. Like we did everything you're supposed to do. Open the flue. Like, you know, we didn't light some huge fire. Leave it unattended. Didn't, you know, like all that stuff. And it's like, we wake up and it's like, why does the house smell like that?
That is the thing though with, and I'll concede this point. I'm like you. I like making a fire. I like making it from scratch
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I'm not above using fire starters though, because it is like, oh yeah, I got this thing going.
I probably will do like kindling logs and like a little yeah, fire yeah. starter. If you're going to do it like nightly, I don't need to like rub two sticks together on everything.
No. So, but what's funny about it is funny when you are like, there's just something always goes wrong with a campfire. It's like something went wrong with yours. You even use the dummy flame. Like just like here, this just put a match on this and you'll be fine. When nobody wants to see you achieve something you couldn't get when you were a kid. So it's like, but it's like, it's funny. Every time I go camping or we stayed at an Airbnb, my wife and I and the family over the holidays, and same thing. I struggled to make this fire forever. And it was just like, like it would burn and then it would go out. And it was just like, why? Because it's nice when it's lit and that's why you did it. You wanted to like
yeah.
have a nice fireplace to curl up. And instead it occupied your whole night and you didn't really get to relax. You just kind of spent the night going, well, what's wrong with that thing?
It's funny that you say that because I used to watch when they were hot, I used to watch so many survival shows. I loved them. It was like, the idea of just going like, all right, go. You brought a knife and a hatchet and
oh,
you
sure.
know, like I always thought was so enthralled with the idea of something
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Especially because like how much technology is leveraged in our everyday lives now. It was like going back to the beginning of something was like cool to me.
Yeah.
And so I watched so many people make fires. I'm like, how to explain? So I was like pretty confident when we go camping, like I'm pretty good at making a fire.
Sure.
The one thing that, which you kind of just touched on, that I always thought was really interesting. There's a lot of this kind of stuff when you become a parent and then you like gain more experience being a parent, take your kids camping, go to these places, go on vacation, whatever. The perspective you gain of what your parents went through as your mm-hmm. parents that yeah. you never thought of because you are a little king and queen royalty children who don't have to worry about anything because your parents take care of everything.
Yep.
And that's one of those things. When you, when your dad or your grandpa or whoever it was would make like a fire while you're camping, or your mom would make a, you know,
yeah.
you don't realize that like, you don't just light a fire and then sit back and enjoy it.
No, yeah.
You're, it has to be maintained like throughout the right. time until things are kind of winding down, and then you need to decide when the last one goes on, because if it's like raging fire until everyone wants to go to bed, then it's like, well, that thing's going to burn for like 2 more hours, and yeah. like, now you're stuck sitting there with it. So it's like this whole thing you're managing, and it's like that's another one of those examples, I think, that's very interesting, mm-hmm. becoming a parent where you are in charge of this thing that like your kids have no idea that is even going on.
No, they think.
They're just thinking just like, turn it on. Can't we just make s'mores?
Yeah.
You know, like all this talk of s'mores.
Can I just set a marshmallow on fire?
Yeah. Why do we have to? Now you've got the fire late. We have to wait till it's coals. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Why? The fire is cooler.
Yeah. So I think that's funny. That's one of those things. I'll put that yeah. up there as like one of those. It's, I mean, it almost fits into the category of things that no one tells you. Because the things no one tells you is like things nobody remembers. Because again, you don't know that that's even really happening as a kid.
Yeah.
My only example of that really quickly, speaking of grandfathers doing that kind of stuff, my grandfather used to take us fishing on his boat. Mm-hmm. And same thing, wake you up. They've all been up for 90 minutes, getting the boat prepped, baiting the hooks, you know, yeah. like go down, get the bait from the shop, come back, get the paper, make the coffee, put it in the pot. Like all that stuff is going on while you're still sleeping as a kid.
Yeah.
They wake you up. They're like, okay, put some clothes on. You're like, oh. And then you just like walk out to the car. You're on the boat ramp in 5 minutes and you're on the boat 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like that's your life as a kid. Here, everything for you here. Watch that line. If it goes, you can reel it in, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff continues on. You go back, dump the kids off at the house. They take the boat out. It's salt water. They got to flush the motor. They got to rinse the whole boat off. Like it's now that's another at least hour of like de-escalating what happened to the fishing and like all that stuff. And when I was like 12 or 13 years old or something like that, we all came in. I had a brother and a sister and 2 cousins. We all came in and my grandfather looked at me and he goes, all right, now it's time for you to learn what going fishing means. And I was like, okay. And I stood out there with him for an hour and like hosed the boat off. He put me in charge of this, put all the stuff back in the tackle box, put it in the garage, put the things away, put the wading boots over here, like, and the whole process. And that was like my first example of like, oh, whoa, this isn't like just start the boat up and go fishing and come back and that's it.
Isn't that funny? Cause it's like, he took that as a this is a good time. He's a good age. He can learn to do this. Also because my back is on fire.
I was going to say, because my knees are killing me.
I can pawn this off as a memory for him. Where really, I'm dying.
I'm sitting over
here. I slept on a rock all night.
Yeah. Sipping the rest of my coffee well. Young gun over there is flush on the motor.
That's a good place to leave it. If you guys have stories of you missing a step or, you know, unsuccessfully trying to make a cozy night for your family, you guys can email us dumbdadpod@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram. We are @thedumbdads. That's our handle across all social media. Please rate and review this podcast. If you guys haven't done it already, go on Apple Podcasts. Give us that 5-star, write a review. We might read one on the podcast. And also tell us your dumb dad stories, because we're going to put those in mailbags, start doing those more regularly. And
they're so fun.
Thanks to At Verdue on SoundCloud for the music. Thanks to our producer and my lovely wife, Annie, for everything. And Evan, do you have a joke to take us out?
I do. Okay. What do you call a group of knees?
The bee's knees?
No. A joint venture.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And that's all that it is. Just kind of fun.
Yep. Okay, okay, bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the world, little one. Welcome to life.
How do I stop this?
The Dumb Dad Podcast is proudly presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.